Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Okay, the big story that popped up yesterday afternoon, I believe, is that Trevor Lawrence was told by the NCAA, you know what? We will let you handle up on this charity, this community work that you're going to be doing out there, after they'd already told him that he could not do this charity work. Kevin, the NCAA has been the worst. They are the worst, and I just don't understand why they think they – like, why their PR moves are just awful. They don't have a good vision of what it – like, how to be good people.
Absolutely. And for the record, I need to go see if they just reorganized it somewhere else. But that original page is absolutely still deactivated.
Oh, wow.
Is so Trevor Lawrence and I was it his girlfriend, fiance? They started the COVID-19 Family Relief and Support GoFundMe, and they got up to $2,670. And this is the amazing part of the whole thing to me, is how stupid the NCAA is. Did you know they didn't step in because it's an amateur athlete who's raising money? They stepped in because he was using his name and college likeness.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they were like, nope, you can't do that. That is a violation to not have an authorization to use your name. It's your name likeness by treading off of the success of Clemson for this GoFundMe page. And so they shut it down. And then, of course, you know, Reggie's right. People would have stood up for this anyway, but they definitely have extra time now to find some causes. And so people just freaking destroyed the NCAA for this. And, of course, they eventually reverse course and they're like, oh, yeah, we love and care about the people and the people suffering from the virus. No, they don't. They just realize it's like we talked about with the 76ers yesterday. How much of a PR hit are you going to take for the amount of money involved? Well, for the NCAA, it literally costs them nothing. So why not do the thing that makes people not hate them? But then again, why not do the thing that makes people not hate them to begin with?
Yeah. Well, when you have a monopoly and you don't have to pay anybody except the people working in the offices, I think it's really tough to come to logical conclusions on how the world of business and how the world of raising money works. I don't know everything about the NCAA. Hell, I don't know anything about anything at times when, you know, people question me. You're right.
I've heard
I
the
don't
show.
Know much. But I would just say they have a monopoly and they can't get or understand anything except we own everything and we can do whatever we want, whenever we want. There really are no checks and balances. So when people from the public are like, you guys need to be checked on this, they're like, wait, what's going on? We're not supposed to be checked at all.
You want to know something amazing about all of this? They have even botched the like apology or reinstatement or whatever. So this story came out. Everyone was outraged about it and all of that good stuff. And Trevor Lawrence even went to his Instagram and was like, hey, we want to thank NCAA so much for granting us a waiver and changing their mind and all of this. And the NCAA came out in a statement and said, the NCAA did not ask Trevor Lawrence to take down his fundraiser for COVID-19. We continue to work with member schools, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth noting that it was the Clemson Compliance Office that asked him to take it down. But, of course, they're doing that out of fear that they'll get repercussions from the
NCAA.
So
that would be like if Gavin Spittle came to us and said, hey, I need you guys to do this. because I'm afraid FCC is going to come down on us.
And I do wonder if it would just be because of that in Gavin's situation, or if it was just Clemson in this situation, or they had been back-channeled by the NCAA or the Intercom overlords and been like, yeah, you need to stop what you're doing. So, like, maybe officially, but all I know is this. Trevor Lawrence decided to start this GoFundMe, and then it was magically stopped. And so the idea that the NCAA is like, I don't understand. We had no problem with this to begin with. But Mike is right. If you had just a business where you could do whatever the hell you wanted and never really had to deal with the implications or logic of any of it, I also would probably be like, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Can you explain, because you guys have been keeping up with the NCAA and their, you know, their findings and the things they've done for quite some time. I mean, I go back to the OU thing with the pasta. And how they, you know, they did a very bad job of saying,
no, that was
hey,
an outrage. That was the worst thing that's ever happened, Corey.
You owe us $1.30 for that pasta that you ate at a buffet. But the, you know, when did the NCAA start becoming the power that they are? And was it the SMU move that really launched them into, you know, we can do this to any school, and you know what? Nobody should question us.
You know what? That's a possibility.
I'm trying to track it back, and I'm not sure what their history of you know, coming down on people is.
I'm inclined to believe that the power has really gotten out of whack in the last 10 years when the media contracts have gotten out of whack, because I'm inclined to believe that money either gives you true power or implied power. And once you moved into the billions with the March Madness contracts and the Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening and all the different proliferations of football contracts, I think that sense of money gave them a sense of power and upped their level of pettiness. Because, like, at least with the SMU thing, I think people can look back on that and say that was the right thing to do. Like, I don't think that was an NCAA overreach. I think that was a spot where they saw how far and how crazy the corruption has gone, and they're like, well, we got to do something. But now when you look at the NCAA, they engage in pettiness that I think people with a lot of money and power believe they have the right to engage in.
I agree with that.
Man, I just looked up this story. Or I just looked up, when did NCAA come to power or gain power? And the first thing that came up is a PDF, and it looks like it's a discussion paper series written by Lawrence M. Kahn. And here's the title of it, Kevin. I think you're going to love this. I'm going to send the link over to you. The Economics of College Sports, Cartel Behavior versus Amateurism. That seems extreme, but
I
wonder.
That is a paper I would read.
Do you feel that that's true? Do you feel...
Absolutely. Think about it. Okay. And not to bend the NCAA out of shape, but guess what? I'm far past my eligibility. And although Sinbad and Necessary Roughness leads me to believe that might not be the case.
Yeah, I think your eligibility is still intact. I just don't think anybody's going to give you a scholarship.
Well, okay. That seems unfair. So, but think about it. So what does the cartel do? They have a product that only they can supply and has some questionable legality behind it that is made by breaking the back of low-paid to no-paid workers who feel like they have no choice. Does that really sound that much different than the NCAA? Now, I know the legality part of it will say, oh, it's totally different, but think about it. The NCAA is the one monolithic, all-encompassing power, and they have gained their power and their money off of the work of no-paid to low-paid employees, many of which feel as though they have no other option but to go this route. Is it really that different? Aside from, like, the murdering and all of that, I get that part. But, like, the basic economics of it are not that much different.
Nope.
Man, this is fascinating. This piece right here is
fascinating. Are you going to be reading that story for the rest of that paper for the rest of the show? I'm interested.
$675 million per year And I don't know exactly when this was published, so I'd have to go back and look at it was 2006. So this even goes back that far.
Yeah, we're in the billions
now. Yeah,
good
over a billion.
God. So in addition to that, though, but it is viewed as a cartel that attempts to produce rents by restricting output and limiting player payments for inputs such as player compensation. But others are going to argue that rules enhance the value of amateur sports and preserve competitive balance. They question the ability of 1,000+ school organizations to effectively police its members, which individually may be tempted to violate cartel rules. In addition, even if the NCAA is an effective cartel, since athletic success depends in part on relative performance, curbing competition for inputs could be socially efficient. So no matter what, they are supplemented by antitrust and anti-discrimination law enforcement. Yeah, so they get to do whatever they want.
How much longer is that going to stick? I just want to say, for people who want to romanticize amateur athletics, I think that should have gone out the door at the very least in 1992 when we just changed the rules and let all the NBA players play in the Olympics. Like, I think we should be done with the romanticism of, oh, it's pure, it's the amateur athletics. Have you ever seen how amateur athletics work and how people get recruited? There is almost nothing pure about this game, and I think we should not focus on that.
It's all about not getting caught. Like,
yes,
that's 100%. All it is in the college
chips.
Game is, yeah, just don't get caught. We're going to be fine.
My first date I ever went on with my wife now, when I was a sophomore, I took her to see the movie Blue Chips.
Was she really excited that that's the movie you pick for her, Mike?
Yeah, so she has to live with the rest of her life. Anytime somebody says, well, what was y'all's first date? It was taking her to go see the movie Blue Chips.
Mine was Cruel Intentions.
Oh, well, it's good to set expectations.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.